Amen. Thank you, Lisa. It's a beautiful talent. I got the privilege of hearing Lisa play yesterday too in the Erica and Steven's wedding right here yesterday. She did a beautiful job. I got to hear her at the rehearsal too. It's good stuff. I'm getting all my Lisa. I'm going to set this right here as a reminder. Y'all don't let me forget to take it home. Grace would probably kill me, wouldn't she? Are you redeemed? Pray with me. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for your word. Lord, what a gift. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity, Lord, to have a copy of your word. Lord, it is so prevalent here, but yet we know that in other countries and other places, a whole church might share one Bible, and they would think it was out of this world to be able to bring it home a little while, or my goodness, to have one of their own. Lord, what a privilege. We thank you that we have your word. Lord, we might have three or four copies at our house. We might have some with dust on them. Forgive us, Lord. What a blessing to have your living word. Lord, we know that you speak through it. Would you open our hearts right now and speak to us through your word, Lord, and through your Lord's Supper. Lord, that ordinance that you ordained that we remember you. Help us, Lord. Speak to us. Speak to us through this celebration of your supper and through your word. Get me out of the way. Get the deacons out of the way. Let us hear from you. And Lord, whatever you tell us, let us take it and do it. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Are you redeemed? What does that mean? There's a nice theological term for you. Are you redeemed? Well, let me define it a little bit for you. What does it mean to be redeemed? What does that mean? Well, to redeem something is to pay a price to set it free. Sometimes it's a high price. Sometimes it's to pay a high price to set something free. In the Bible, to redeem means to free something, free someone from something bad by paying a penalty, paying a ransom. Well, we also know that in the Greek world, slaves at that time, they had the possibility of being redeemed. Well, what did that mean for a slave in the Greek world? Well, if a slave wanted to be redeemed or had that possibility to be redeemed, it would mean that by a certain payment or price, they could be set free. They may be able to redeem themselves. They might be able to pay a certain price and set themselves free. Or someone else may pay a price and set that slave free. And so let me ask you again this morning, are you redeemed? Has there been a price paid for you? Has some price been paid for you to set you free from something bad? Something terrible? Has that happened in your life? Are you redeemed? Well, what is it that we would be redeemed from? What is this bad thing that we are enslaved to that someone might could pay the price, somebody might could pay a certain amount and set us free from this horrible thing? Well, what is it? What is this terrible thing? What enslaves us? Well, God tells us many times in the Scripture, Jesus said, those who sin are slaves to sin. But we're slaves to sin and our sin nature that we're born with. You don't have to teach a child to be bad, but you do have to teach a child to be good. We're born with a sin nature. What is it that we need to be set free from? What is this horrible thing? It's the curse of the law. It's all wickedness. It's sin. In Romans 8, in the first verses of Romans 8, you can read that sometime. Those first verses of Romans 8 describe it as the law of sin and death. That's what we need to be set free from. The law of sin and death. Well, what does that mean? It means that I'm a sinner. I was born that way, and so are you. It's in your nature. You have a sinful nature. You're born in sin. And so, the law of sin and death. Well, that means I'm a slave to sin. I will sin. I can't not sin. In the state that I'm born in, I will do it. I'm a slave to it. There's no way out of it, except for what I'll share with you in just a minute. But I'm trapped. I'm enslaved. It's the law of sin and death. So we're slaves to sin, but then it's also the law of sin and death. Well, that's the result of sin. That's its conclusion. That's its ultimate penalty. So I'm born into sin. I'm a sinner. I'm a slave to it. And the penalty, what I have to look forward to, is death and hell. Separation from God for all eternity. That's pretty bad, isn't it? That's pretty bad. Well, that's the bad thing that I'm asking. Have you been redeemed? Has there been some high price paid to set you free from something bad? What I've just described? The law of sin and death? Has there been some price paid? Are you redeemed? Well, there has been a price paid. There is something that can redeem you. There is a currency that was paid that sets you free. And we already read about it, but you can turn there with me. Turn to 1 Peter. Let's look at this. 1 Peter, this is toward the end of your Bible if you're new at this. The New Testament is about the last third of your Bible. And you just turn to that last third of your Bible. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just keep going. You'll see 1 and 2 Corinthians. You'll see Timothy, Hebrews, you're getting close. Then you'll see James, and then Peter. You want Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, what is it? What is this currency? What is this payment that can set you free from what enslaves you and set me free from what enslaves me? 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Listen to God's word. Listen to what he's saying to you right now in these verses. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. That's just another way of describing it. Sin, death, hell, the empty way of life, the cursed, being cursed under the law. All these things. It wasn't by gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. How can you be redeemed? What is the currency? What is the payment to set you free from all this? It's what Grace told me the other morning. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the payment through the blood of Christ. Now, there's an Interesting thing to note here, when I ask you just a minute ago, are you redeemed? Everything's been done for you to be redeemed. Yes, you can be completely free of all that horrible curse, the things that I just mentioned. Yes, you can be completely free because, yes, the price has already been paid. You see, Jesus went to that cross and He took your sin nature. You weren't even born yet, but He took your sin nature and all your sin, all your wickedness, everything about you. He took it all on Himself on the cross. And He bled and He shed His blood and He took your punishment. He paid it with His blood. He paid the price to set you free with His blood. He took the punishment that you owe, that you deserve. He died in your place. He was your substitute, punished for you so you don't have to be. But when I ask you personally, are you redeemed? That's a yes or no question. Yes, He already did it all. He already paid the price. But you know what? It's just like a check. Let's say I wanted to give you $100 and I wrote you a check. Probably wouldn't happen. We need all we can get. But let's just say, I wrote you a check for $100 and I gave it to you. Well, it's been done. I did everything necessary for you to have that $100. I gave it to you on my end. It's been done. But you know, you can just take that check and you can wrinkle it up and put it in your pocket and you can carry it around and you know what? That $100 won't be yours. It won't apply to you. And then eventually you can wash your pants and then the check gets all washed and torn apart and you missed it. But you see, it applies to you when you go to the bank and then you deposit that check and then, or you cash it. And you get $100 and then you have it in hand. You see, you went through the transaction. Jesus has already done everything necessary. He paid the price to redeem you. But you can just let it sit. You can believe it all. Oh yeah, I believe Jesus died for my sins. He died on the cross. And yeah, that's great. Won't do anything for you until you personally cash that check. Until you personally trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. Just like that chair. I can believe in this chair right here all day long. I believe it exists. I believe it would support my weight. If I sat on this chair, I believe it would hold me up. I really do. I believe it. It won't do me any good until I cash it just like that check. How do I really show that I trust in that chair? How do I put my faith in that chair? Well, I go like this, and I sit down, and I lift up my feet, and I say, see, this chair will hold me up. I'm putting my faith, I'm trusting in this chair. Put my faith in this chair. See, that's like cashing the check. You can believe that Jesus did all that. But until you personally trust in Him, put your faith in Him, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Thank You for what You did for me. I can't believe You already paid for all my sins. I give my life to You. I put my life in Your hands. I lift up my feet. I put my full weight and my whole eternity in Your hands. I'm trusting in You and You alone, Lord Jesus Christ, to get me to heaven, to save me from my sins. I give myself to You. You see, that's putting faith in it. That's cashing the check, so to speak. So, this morning, are you redeemed? Have you not only believed, but trusted in Jesus like that? You've given Him your life. One thing we notice from these two verses, are you redeemed? Well, if so, you know what did not redeem you. I know that might be a little complicated, but just think about it. If so, if you are truly redeemed, then you know what did not redeem you. You see that in verse 18. If you're truly redeemed, sitting here this morning, it's already happened for you. The transaction's been made. You already put your faith in Christ. The blood's already covered you, and you are saved, and you are forgiven. If that is you this morning, and you are redeemed, then you know what did not redeem you in verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you. So if you're redeemed this morning, you know it did not redeem you. You know it wasn't silver or gold that paid the price for you, that set you free from your sins and their penalty and death and hell. You know it wasn't silver or gold. Matter of fact, you know, if you're redeemed this morning, you know that it wasn't anything that was seen. You see, the things that are seen, anything you can see in this life, that's with your physical eyes, that's physical, that's temporary. That's all passing away. And so you know that nothing in this world could set you free from your sins and their penalty. If you're redeemed, you know that it's not silver or gold. It's nothing even in this world that you can see that would redeem you, that would set you free. You know that it's not anything you could do. If you are redeemed, you know that there's nothing you could do to set you free, that it's nothing on your part. Like this gentleman I told, if you were here Wednesday, I think I told you about this gentleman I was talking with at my house. And I said, well, what do you think will get you to heaven? What are you trusting in? If you stood before the Lord and he said, why should I let you into my kingdom? What do you think you'd tell him? And he said, oh man, well, I've been saving all kinds of people. He said, this man just the other day, he was driving down the wrong side of the road. He was a priest guy. And he said, I stopped. I directed traffic. I had him turn around and go back the other way. And he said, I've just been changed. He said, I'm just doing all kinds of good things. And he said that I've just been saving a lot of people. You know, I'll be fine. He said, I know I'm going to heaven. But just a few minutes later, we looked into God's Word and he got to see that, no, that would never redeem him. He saw right in God's Word that none of that would redeem him. None of his good works. Saving 10,000 people wouldn't redeem him. Anything on his part that he could do, he saw that it would not redeem him. It would not set him free. None of it. And if you're redeemed this morning, you know that. You know that no good work, you know that nothing on your part, no human effort could redeem you. You also know that your baptism won't redeem you. You know that giving won't redeem you. You know that Bible study won't redeem you. You know that prayer won't redeem you. You know that your family can't redeem you, and it doesn't matter if everybody in your family was a preacher. You know that a lack of sin can't redeem you. You know that not being as bad as many others in the culture, you know that won't redeem you. You know that obedience to God's Word, that won't redeem you. You know that the Ten Commandments and following them the best you can, doing a real good job on the Ten Commandments, you know that won't redeem you. If you are truly redeemed, you know that none of these things can redeem you or ever would redeem you. And then also, if you are redeemed this morning, here's the second point. You know what does redeem you. You know what did redeem you. We see it in verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And so if you are redeemed here this morning, you already know that the way you got set free from sin and its penalty and everything else horrible that we've been talking about was by the blood of Christ. That's the only thing that'll redeem you. The precious blood. You see, all through the Old Testament, the sacrifices of all these animals, they were all types. They were all foreshadowings. The lambs that were sacrificed for the sins of the people, they were all just a foreshadowing of the coming sacrifice that God would provide. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. That He would provide a sacrifice for sins. And that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. But God would provide this sacrifice. And this sacrifice would shed His blood. The precious blood of Christ would be shed for the forgiveness of sins. God's once and for all sacrifice. The Lamb without blemish. Jesus Christ. So are you redeemed this morning? Maybe you're not. Maybe you want to be and you've just seen it. Maybe you came in here thinking you were, but one of those many, many things that were just mentioned right here that will not redeem you and cannot redeem you, maybe you just realized, uh-oh. Maybe you just realized, oh my goodness, I think I've had a little trust in some of those things He mentioned. My baptism or my church attendance. I may have been trusting in a little bit of what I've done to set me free from sin and its penalty. Maybe you've realized that this morning and you need to repent. To repent means to have a deep change of mind. So maybe you need to change your mind this morning like that gentleman I was telling you about. Maybe you need to turn from what you've been believing, whatever you've been trusting in other than Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross. His resurrection. Whatever, anything else you've had a little bit of trust in, well, you know, that'll help get me to heaven too. This thing over here on the side, if that's you, you need to repent this morning. You need to have a deep change of mind. So what you need to do is you need to say, God, forgive me. Have mercy on me. I've heard your truth this morning. Forgive me for trusting in some of those other things. I repent. I turn from anything and everything. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I consider it all rubbish. All the incredible things the Apostle Paul had done, all his good works, he said, I consider it all rubbish. That's refuse. That's trash. That's disgusting compared to the surpassing greatness of Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, salvation is in Jesus and Him alone, not in anything you can do. So maybe this morning you need to repent. You need to leave all that and say, Lord, I am turning from anything I've ever trusted in other than You, Jesus, and Your blood shed for me on the cross. And I'm turning to You. And only You, Jesus. And I'm saying, Jesus, save me from my sins. I want to be redeemed. Come into my life. I give my whole life to You. I sit on the chair of You. I give my whole life to You. If that's you this morning, after we have this Lord's Supper, Chris is going to lead us in a song. And you need to stand. You need to let everybody here know what the Lord just did in your life. You've believed. You've truly believed. You need to step out of your seat and walk down the aisle and say, I'm a believer now. I truly am redeemed now. I just called on the Lord. When Chris leads us, you come. Maybe you've realized that this is your church home. This is the place you need to be. That this is the body of believers you need to connect with. And the Lord is telling you that. Same thing. When Chris leads us after this Lord's Supper, you come. But right now, we're going to have the Lord's Supper, and in just a few moments, if you're already a baptized believer, and if you're a baptized believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are invited to partake in this supper, His supper, the Lord's Supper. However, hear me, however, each of us needs to take this supper very seriously, very solemnly. If there is anything, we need to examine ourselves before we eat this supper, before we partake. Examine yourself, me included. We need to examine ourselves and confess any known sin, all sin. Confess that to the Lord. Only take His supper with a clean heart before Him. Examine your heart so that we might not be, as Scripture tells us, guilty of taking the supper in an unworthy manner, which is sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. We don't want to do that. So if there's a relationship where you have some bitterness and some unforgiveness, or if there is some other sin in your life that you're harboring and your heart is not right about that sin and you know that, then just pass it on. Just let the supper pass on. But better yet, just get right with the Lord right now. We're going to have some times of silence. And as we're going through all this, you just repent. You just call out to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. You just get that clean heart before the Lord. That's what He wants. He wants you to take His supper this morning.